Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined by Graham Rodway and all too rare contributor to this show, the mighty Justin O'Hanlon. To look ahead to a really, really good weekend, here's what we've got. The action is on ITV on Saturday, four races at Haydock Park, the highlight of which is the Super Sprint with Starman looking to get the job done at a fairly short price. Got a couple of crackers at Ascot and also two more really good races over at Kempton Park. And then we'll see what else the rest of the lads fancy. Our Ireland-based expert, Justin, will hopefully have some beauties over there. And then on Sunday, what a race. We're going to find out just how good Baid is. He comes up against Snow Lantern in the pre-Moulin. Loads to get stuck into then. And we will start with Haydock and we'll start with 145. It's the Betfair Daily. No, it's not. It's the Betfair Double Daily Rewards Superior Mile Stakes. It's a Group 3. Roughly speaking, these are the prices, as we always say, shop around, not just for best prices, but also best each way terms. Lord Glitters, good old Lord Glitters, he's fav, 11-8. My Oberon's 5-2. May Danny is 4-1. Bell Rock is 7-1. Artistic Rifles is 10-1. Only the five runners, Justin, but it should be quite a good race, this, shouldn't it? How are you, my old friend?
I'm good, Bruce. It's nice to be back. Believe it or not, it's 3 years since I've been on this.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's far too long, mate. Far too long. And in that time, Nottingham Forest, your beloved Forest, they've had a stuttering start to the season, haven't they? Is that causing you more heartache than you'd like?
It's an all too familiar heartache. It's been a bad week. What happened in Portugal the other night as well.
Goodness, of course, yeah, Ronaldo. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, so we better not talk about football. We won't talk about football. We might with G-Rod because he'll be happier. But let's talk about racing. Let's talk about the 145. Who's going to win, Justin?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does seem to come down to Lord Glitters, doesn't it? He is the one proven Group One performer in the field. Stayed the nine furlongs well, I suppose. Well, he'd shown that he did that over the winter in Maidan as well, but he saw the nine furlongs well when beaten by Real World at York the last day. Holds my Oberon on that form. There's a couple who might have been a bigger threat to him who've not actually made the cut for this race for one reason or other, but he just runs his race every day. I think, you know, the one probably below par run he had this season wasn't the lock-in. She made up for that when he got within three lengths of Palace Pier at Ascot. You know, he's just one of those reliable horses, and it's hard not to see him beat in this contest, I think.
I agree with that, Justin. Do you agree with that, Giro? Good old Lord Glitters. I mean, what a lovely horse he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great horse, isn't he, Lord Glitters? It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? He's the sort of horse you'd love to own, isn't he? But he really is Lord Glitters, because he just turns up and he runs his race time and time again, and he's done it on his last two starts, hasn't he? Not far behind Palace Pier, proper Group 1 horse at Royal Ascot. And then, of course, last time out, behind a potential Group 1 horse in Real World. And for that, he got a Racing Post rating of 118. I mean, that's better than the average for Group 2 winners. So he should be winning if he can return that sort of form in a Group 3 race. He is a short price, though, and he isn't the most frequent of winners nowadays, is he, Lord Glitter? So in what could be a bit of a muddling five-runner race, and he has to come from off the pace, I'm going to take him on with the Mark Johnston runner May Danny. It's the sort of race that I could see May Danny winning, because he'll just go out there, typical Mark Johnston, be up there nicely on the pace, tactical, and he might outstay him. I mean, he's winning the Goodwood race in the handicap, was a really, really good time. He did it nicely. Racing Post rating at 113 would usually be good enough to win an average Group 3. Last time out at York, he ran off a big weight in another really competitive handicap and ran another solid race, beating a couple of lengths in an 18-runner handicap. I just think this smaller field tactical setup might just suit May Danny, and he might be able to upset the favourite.
Okay, we're going to stick with you, G-Rod, for our next two at Haydock, and we'll start with the 220, the My Odds Boost on Betfair Handicap. 1.06 is the trip. Valley Forge is favourite at round about 9-4. Then it's Vino Victrix at 4-1. Priano 5s, Ocean Line 6s, 17-2 bar. Eight runners, so it's got each way potential. Who have you got your eye on here, G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm glad you're coming to me for these races, Bruce, because these are the staying races. I've been handicapping these this year for Racing Post, so I know a lot of these horses very well. Valley Forge obviously is going to be favourite here, having won the Melrose last time out. He travelled fantastically well through that race. And I thought, oh, he's going to win this race easily. But I thought he made quite hard work of it towards the finish. And he kind of fell in a little bit. I just wonder if he's the strongest of stayers at a mile and six furlongs, given how well he went through the race and then how disappointingly he finished. I know he got over the line, but only just. I wonder if a mile and six furlongs at Haydock, where it's a stiffer track, might just stretch him. So I'm quite keen to take Valley Forge, John. And the one that I fancy is Vino Victrix. This ran in probably just one of the strongest staying races the whole season at Sandown in July. It beat Classic Lord, who went on to win since and has since been third in a group three. Dancing Harry was third. That's won twice since. Noonday Gun was fourth. That's a winner since and has since gone on to run really well in Listed Company. And even the horse that finished last, Dance to Paris, went on to win next time. So that was absolutely rock solid form. And of course, Vino Victrix won again next time himself at Kempton, giving further substance to the form. He's gone up £4 for that win at Kempton, but I think he's still got plenty of upside, Vino Victrix. He absolutely hammered them in that Sandown race, and we know how good that race was. And I think this will set up nicely for Vino Victrix.
G-Rod, just quickly explain to listeners what you mean when you say I've been handicapping the stayers on the flat this year.
Yeah, so all races over a mile and five furlongs, we have Racing Post ratings for, which are our own assessment of how good each horse is. And yeah, every single race run over a mile and five furlongs this year in Britain, I have been rating and giving ratings to every horse in every race. So
so the team of handicappers will divvy up all the races. We've got Steve Mason over jumps and then you've got other specialists in other areas. And obviously, we've got the Irish ratings guys as well. So your designated beat is the staying flat horses, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. And we have, I think, James Norris does the juvenile. So everyone has their own speciality. And this is mine, hopefully.
Brilliant. Excellent. Nice one. So Vino Victrix is G-Rod's fancy in the 220. We'll stick with G-Rod for another staying race at 255. It's the Betfair Exchange Old Borough Handicap. Loads of old favourites here. Global Storm is favourite for Charlie Appleby at round about fours. Then it's 5-1 Noble Masquerade. Sevens Rhythmic Intent. Sevens good old Radzinski. 9-1 Indianapolis and 10 Bar. So lots of old favourites here, G-Rod. You know them all like the back of your hand. Which one is going to prevail?
Yeah, great race, isn't it? The Old Borough Cup. Lots of history to it. And nowadays, you have to be rated so highly to get into these staying races, top-class ones like the Ebor, for example, and the Old Borough Cup, that it's very difficult for the lightly raced improvers to get in. So you often end up with a lot of exposed classy stayers taking each other on, but not that many of them have got much in hand of the handicapper. And I think that's the case with this race. Like you say, loads of old favourites, got loads of races by their name. None of them really hold any secrets from us. We just know how good they are. And it's just which one is going to be the best handicapped on the day. Whose turn is it? And I think this year, this time, it might be Indianapolis's turn. Because he's really well handicapped on his best form. He's rated down at 85. I mean, he was up into the high 90s to 100s earlier in his career when he was trained by James Given. And he's gone to Ian Williams this season. Ian Williams is a great trainer of these sorts of horses, stayers. And he really does improve horses when he gets them from other yards. And it's taken a bit of time for Indianapolis to really find his feet. But he's been running well in his last few starts. He was only a few lengths behind Just Hubert Ascot last time out in the, was it the Shergar Cup Stayers, they call it, I think. And he ran a cracker again at Ascot in July. But the standout piece of form actually came at this course last year in September when he ran through an RPR of 102. He was only beaten half a length behind Stargazer off a mark of 97. I mean, if he runs to 102, RPR of 102 in this race, he's going to be very difficult to beat because he's only running off an official rating of 85. So that would mean we've got him somewhere in the region of £17 well in. Even if he runs to his Ascot form, he's still got a massive chance. But back at Haydock, I think this might be his track. So Indianapolis is the one for me here, Bruce.
Splendid. From the stayers to the sprinters and the big race of the day. It's the 3:30 at Haydock on Saturday. The Betfair Sprint Cup. It's a group one over six furlongs and Starman, after his third in the Morris de Geest, is favourite at around about 10 to 11. I think you can get some evens still. Creative Force, 11 to 2. Art Power, around about 8 to 1. Glenn Shields, 10. And then it's 14 Bar. 11 go to post. Justy, back to you. Do we rely on Starman here or do we look for something at a slightly more exotic price?
Well, it's been an odd sort of year for the sprinters, hasn't it? I don't think anything really has captured the imagination amongst the sprinting fraternity this year with Batash. in decline. And by process of elimination, I suppose you'd come down on the side of Starman here. It's another thing as well that this race is normally run on absolutely bottomless ground in the beginning of September, but it's going to be good to firm tomorrow, which puts it, I suppose, very much in Starman's court as the one to beat in this race. You know, there's a couple to be sort of cursing their luck. Creative Force would have certainly been one who would have been a big leveler if he'd have gotten a bit of soft ground. He's only two lengths off Starman on good to firm ground in the July Cup as well. I think if the ground had turned out soft, it might have been a different story for him. But with the prevailing conditions the way they are, I think Starman is obviously the one to beat. It's, you know, despite G-Rod opposing Lord Glitters in the previous group race, I think the two group races at Haydock tomorrow both look to be fairly straightforward in that sense.
Very unusual, isn't it, to be looking at a Haydock race, as you say, Justin, and being fairly confident it's on the ground, and that ground being much, much firmer than you normally associate with Haydock, for sure. Okay, G-Rod, Justin thinks Starman's a solid fav. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's going to be very difficult to beat, isn't he? If he runs to the same level as when he won the July Cup, then he will win this race, and no doubt about it. But I don't think there's any juice in the price at very short odds. And I think I've found one here, Bruce, at a massive price. I'm actually really excited about it. I've been texting a few people, so price will probably go. But hopefully they won't have too much on and it'll hold up, because it is Group 1. The absolute outsider of the field in this race is Nando Parado, and I think this could run a huge race at huge odds. Last time out, Newbury ran in a Group 2 race to Hungerford over 7 furlongs. They stuck blinkers on him for the first time, and it just lit him up. He went absolutely nuts from the front, and he was going far, far too quickly for the whole race. But he actually ran very, very well to stay on and finish fifth in that race, considering how quickly he went off. Now, that was a Group 2, so it wasn't far off a Group 1, or all right, not top class form. But I think if he'd been able to race a bit more conservatively, say, and he hadn't gone so bonkers early, I think he would have got a lot closer to winning that race. And of course, this is 6 furlongs, not 7, and the sort of pace he showed last time out, that was ideal for a sprint race. So I'm not expecting them to be pulling him back here with blinkers. I think they'll just blast him out like they did at Newbury, and this time they'll just let him go and hope that he's quick enough. Now, let's not forget, this horse is no stranger to causing a huge upset. I mean, he did win the Coventry Stakes last year at 150-1. So he's got good back form. He was placed in a couple of Group 1s last season. There's no one better at training sprinters, in my opinion, than Clive Cox. I mean, he's fantastic with these sorts of horses. And I just thought that Newbury race last time out, when he blasted off, just showed a little bit of the old spark, almost as though he was getting Nando Parado back to his best. If he's back to his best, he's got a great, great chance of at least being placed in this race. And Frankie Dettori is riding, right? He's a complete outsider in the field, right? Frankie Dettori is riding it. And Frankie Dettori is going up to Haydock for one ride on this Saturday, a busy Saturday when there's Ascot group race at Kempton. He's going to Haydock to ride one horse called Nando Parado at 50-1. What do you think? Clive Cox must have picked up the phone and said to Frankie Dettori's agent, oh, look, does Frankie fancy coming up to ride this complete outsider that's got no chance? I'm sure that Frankie's agent would have gone, yeah, you'd be well up for that. I don't think so. I mean, Frankie up there for one ride on Nando Parado at a huge price, just going to run really well, I think, this horse, each way. Probably struggle to beat Starman if he's on his best, but who knows? Maybe Starman will have an off day, and Nando Parado calls a huge upset for us.
Oh, brilliant. And, G-Rod, I've got another thing to back up your brilliant case, as if you needed it. When Nando Parado won the Coventry last year at 150s, do you know who finished 10th in that race?
No idea.
Creative Force, who is 11-2, second favourite for this. So how about that? Justy, that's some case, isn't it, mate? Has he convinced you? You've got to have a fiver on Nando now, haven't you, Justy?
No, he hasn't convinced me. sorry, Greg.
Well, if that doesn't convince you, nothing will. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll turn our attention to Ascot.
Download the brand new Racing Post Progeny Tracker. The only tracker of its kind, giving you the ability to track unnamed racehorses by any sire or dam, and you can also get easy access to sales information. You can download it for free on the App Store by searching Progeny Tracker.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Justin O'Hanlon and Graham Rodway before the break. G-Rod made a sensational case for Nando Pirado in the Sprint Cup at 50s. Now we're going to go across to Ascot. Two handicaps there, starting with the 310, the Lavazza Stakes. It's over a mile and a half. And Warran for Sir Michael Stout is favourite at 11-4. And then it's Alfredel at 11-2. Chalkstream 11-2. Champagne Piaf is 13-2. Irish Legend 7-1. No doubt named after Justin O'Hanlon. 15-2 bar. Justin's opting out of our Ascot races. He's such a purist. If he hasn't done at least an hour's research on each race, he doesn't want to take the mickey out of the readers by putting up a tip that he wouldn't back himself. So he's going to opt out. But G-Rod, I'm sure you've had a good study up.
Beautifully put, Bruce.
yeah, I've had a good look, and I fancy Alfredel in this race. I got so excited then I actually closed the screen down on my computer, so I've had to reopen it quickly.
Oh, it was like a mic drop, was it? You sort of finished and just sort of slapped your computer screen down. Yeah, I don't blame you. It was a brilliant performance. One of your finest moments, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. That was what it was like. I've got it back now though, and Roger Varian has won the three times this race in the last 10 years. Three of the last eight, and he's won the last two with Shandoz and Apparate. So I'm going to be going with his runner here, Alfredel, who last time out at Goodwood showed another improved display. He's quite a progressive horse, this three-year-old. He's progressing well. He's behind one of Mark Johnson's called Carder. Jim Crowley actually got it wrong that day because Carder is a Hampden Shadwell horse. So it's rare that Jim Crowley gets it wrong. Usually he's on the right one. But the fact that he did ride Alfredel tells me that the horse must have been showing plenty at home for him to convince Crowley to ride him rather than Carder. I think that was an RPR of 103, which was a career best. He's escaped to rise for in the weights for it, and I think he'll be too progressive for these. So that's Alfredel.
Thank you very much, Justin. By the way, you're renowned within Racing Post circles as being the Rory Bremner of the Racing Post, aren't you? You're an absolute master impressionist. Will you be working on a G-Rod impression for us at some point? Because I think you'd do a great job with it.
I'll give it some thought.
Okay, just quickly though, how does he pronounce Horse?
Horse, I'd say.
That's exactly.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Which horse will G-Rod fancy in the big race at Ascot at 3:45? The Carey's Foundation supporting the Lighthouse Club handicap over 7 films. Normally a huge field for this, just 11 this time. Via Serendipity, 5-1 favourite. Cliffs of Capri, 6-1. Documenting, 13-2. Top Secret, 13-2. 7-1 bar. G-Rod, who do you fancy?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that Via Serendipity is the best handicapped horse in this race. I mean, he's absolutely thrown in on his best form. He was rated really high at his best. He's up at 105 on the all-weather. And, of course, the all-weather crossover that they've been going on about for years with races at Ascot and the straight track. Horses that are good on the all-weather tend to act at Ascot. And this is a course winner, this Via Serendipity.
Very impressive last time at Windsor as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well-backed and absolutely got it done. Very impressive.
Absolutely. Very, very good time as well, that was. It was around a decent time, that race. And he came through and won very well. And he is a horse from memory who, when he finds his form, does tend to hold it fairly well. So I'm hoping that he can defy a rise in the weights. He's only gone up £4. And if you speak to Tom Siegel, he reckons there's not many jockeys on the better than Hayley Turner on the straight track at Ascot. So that's another plus.
Brilliant stuff. Over to Kempton now. Two races there, also on ITV on Saturday, starting with the 205, the Unibet 3 Uniboosts today. Serenia Stakes, a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. This is wide open as well. Wings of War, 7-2. Nymphadora, 4-1. Scots Grace, 9-2. Hierarchy, 5-1. Fearless Angel, 5-1. This is difficult, Justin. Or is it?
Well, it's interesting, certainly. I'm not sure that there's a colour of a group horse in this race, but it'll take a little bit of winning. The one I like, actually, is Fearless Angel, who I thought travelled really well to a point in the 5-furlong listed race at Newbury last time before just got a little bit flat-footed and ran on late again. Looks to me like the step up to 6 will suit her ideally, and she looks potential value at about 5-1. Can't be going for odds on shots all the time, I suppose, Bruce. But
absolutely not. No, good.
I think she stands out, and she ticks plenty of boxes in this race, I think.
Justin, confident on Fearless Angel. G-Rod?
Yeah, I quite like Hierarchy in this, Bruce. I think that he's going to get quite a nice toe into this race from Nymphadora. He's got a good draw in stall two, which can be quite important in 6 furlong races around Kempton, because, of course, they are pretty much straight into a bend. I expect Nymphadora will be blasting away from stall four, and Oisin Murphy will just sit in behind on Hierarchy and hopefully pick them off late. So, yeah, very impressive when he won at Salisbury last time as well, in a good time. So Hierarchy is the one for me.
Thank you. We move on to the 240 at Kempton. It's the Unibet September Stakes, Group 3, 1.5 miles, 5 runners and some big names here. Huckham, the very progressive. Huckham is 8 to 11, certainly not 11 to 8. I wish he was. Hamish is 11 to 4, Outbox 15 to 2, Foxtail 10 to 1. And lovely old Prince of Arran is 10 to 1. We'll start with you, G-Rod. Huckham a good thing?
I do think that Huckham will win this race, or Hookham, as I like to call him. I think that he's a very, very good horse. He probably just falls between Group 1 and Group 2 class. It'll be interesting to see whether they can pick up a Group 1 with him abroad later in the season. I know they were talking about going for the Canadian International over at Woodbine. And if he were to win this impressively, maybe it wouldn't, an art bid wouldn't be entirely out of the question. He's just better than this sort of opposition, Group 3. I think he is at least a Group 2, if not a Group 1 horse. And he should win, but of course he is odds on, so I can't say I'll be backing him. I'll just be watching him, Bruce.
Righty-ho. Justin, what do you make of the Fav here?
Yeah, he's a good horse. I agree pretty much everything that G-Rod said about him. Possibly maybe the only one you'd be, if you're searching for a reason to maybe half oppose it, dropping back to 1.5 miles, I think 1.5 to 1.6 miles is probably his best trip. Like, you could see him potentially being a cup horse next year if he stayed in training, but even at 1.5 miles, he should be good. He should be too good for these.
Splendid. That's the ITV action. Loads more to come in just a jiffy.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast. It's Bruce Millington, it's Justin O'Hanlon, and it's Graham Rodway. We've done the TV action on Saturday. Let's see what else the boys fancy. We've got the rest of Haydock, the rest of Ascot, the rest of Kempton, and then we've got Thirsk. We've also got Stratford over the Sticks. We've got an evening meeting at Wolverhampton, and over in Ireland, Wexford and Navan. Is that where you're going to focus your attention, Justin? Don't give your nap away, but tell us anything else away from the ITV cameras that you think our listeners should be backing on Saturday.
I think, yeah, I'll concentrate on the Irish action, Bruce. Navan on the flat and Wexford over jumps tomorrow. It's
now, don't forget, Navan.
Okay.
Don't forget, Justin, we always, the golden rule on the postcast, you always have to say the time of the race. None of this nursery or the novice race, okay? So go on, away you go.
Yes. I remember you were big on that back in the day. I think it's very much the next week in Ireland is going to be very much a before the Lord Mayor Show, before Champions Weekend, next weekend. But there's a couple of interesting runs at Navan tomorrow. Probably the most interesting runner on the card is Jeff Kidder, who runs in a staying handicap the very last race of the day at 4:45. Jeff Kidder, of course, won the Fred Winter at Cheltenham before going on to win the Group 1, the Grade 1 champion 4-year-old hurdle at Punchestown. Ran poorly on his one start on the flat since, when Noel Mead's horse was pretty much out of form at Killarney back in the summer. But of a mark of 63, you'd expect he could be a horse that could run up a sequence on the flat, and has a pretty good opportunity there tomorrow. That's in the 4:45 race, the final race of the day. But if you go back to the 1:50, which is a sprint handicap, there's one I like here called Bought in the Dark, trained by Dennis Hogan, who... her only previous two wins have both been over this course and trip. She was second off 76 at the Curra in the summer of last year. She dropped back to a mark of 62, but I thought she ran a very nice race in a sprint handicap at the Curra last month when finishing fifth in a big field. It was a sort of a beginning of a return to form, and off a mark of 62, she could be well capable of winning that. Over at Wexford, it's a jumping card and not many stars on show. One interesting one runs in the 1:35, which is a handicap hurdle, and it's a horse called Down the Cellar, trained by Edward O'Grady. Has won four on the bounce over fences, has gone up to a mark of 122 over fences, but running off 87 over hurdles tomorrow with Paul Townend booked to ride, could well, I know you can say that it could be 87 over hurdles for a reason, but it's improved out of all recognition over fences during the summer and could well be a snip there. And in the last race of Wexford 430, which is a 3 mile, 1 furlong handicap chase, Glenquin Castle, trained by Martin Brazel and owned by Jake McManus, is going for a hat trick of victories, having won over three of Roscommon and 3-1 at Kilbeggan on his last twice. And I think that'll take the beating there.
Brilliant. Thanks, Justin. That Jeff Kidd is really interesting because in between winning at Cheltenham and Punchestown, he also won at Fairy House, didn't he? Mm-hmm. What could he achieve next year over jumps? He was constantly underrated last year, wasn't he? So, I mean, he's a horse who is very much, you know, if you owned him, you'd be entitled to think he's going to have a hell of a season, wouldn't you?
I'd say he was probably as underrated by his connections as much as anybody. You wouldn't have seen him being a grade one winner now, even the first week in March. I would imagine Noel Mead is going to train them as a champion hurdle horse and see how they get on.
Brilliant. Very interesting. God, it's nice to talk about jump racing again, I must admit. Mm-hmm. I really do. G-Rod, what have you got for us, old Bean?
Yeah, I got a couple for you at Fersk in the 2:15 at Fersk. I'd be very disappointed if Tuscan can't follow up his victory at the track last time over the course and distance. So he was quite promising first time out in a decent Newmarket maiden at the July course. They're always quite hot maidens, those ones at the July meeting. He built on that promise when going off odds on second time out. I think he's among Charlie Hill's best two-year-olds. Mythical dancers in there for Godolphin and Charlie Appleby. So hopefully that will help with the price on Tuscan. Might bolster that up a little bit. And in the 3:25 at Fersk, another course and distance winner. I was quite impressed with the way that Mossbourne won at the track last time out for David Barron and Connor Beasley. He's shown a liking for the course because on his previous run, he was second there over a mile when he was only headed late on. So I think the drop-in trip really suited him last time out. And I think he can follow up that victory in the 3:25 Mossbourne.
Have you seen who's in that race? Willie John. Do you remember Willie John, the hype around him, G-Rod?
I do, yeah. I remember that years ago. But it's funny, isn't it? When they change stable, it's always sort of hard. Something sort of doesn't always click with them. So your mind must work better than mine.
I don't know about that. I'd be horrified for you if it does. Okay, let's get these Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Justin O'Hanlon. If you're only having one bet on Saturday, Justin, which horse should it be?
It's the following horse, Bruce. In the 3 o'clock at Navan, a filly called... I better wait to quite now to show the effect.
No, go on. But,
in the 3 o'clock at Navan, there's a filly called Impeached Alexander, trained by Jessica Harrington, who actually burst the last day she ran the listed race at Nace. But if all is well, I think she's pretty highly regarded. And if she can't win a nursery off 78, there's no point backing a horse or tipping a horse ever again.
Right. Impeached Alexander for Justin in the 3 o'clock at Navan. G-Rod?
Yeah, mine is Vino Victrix in the 2:20 at Haydock. Very hopeful that he'll win that race, Vino Victrix.
Excellent stuff. Let's turn our attention very quickly to Sunday. There's some good racing, by the way. There's some decent sorts going. The Garraby Stakes, which is a listed race up at York. And then there's jump racing at Perth and Fontwell. But the main focus of attention, if it's quality you're after, is over in Paris. The 2:48 at Longchamp on Sunday is the Prix Moulin. We were hoping for a three-way tussle between Baid and Snow Lantern and Poetic Flair, but Poetic Flair is not running. However, the other two do stand their ground. They're up against November and also Victor Ludorum, Order of Australia, and that one's stablemate, Lope E. Fernandez, who's become very disappointing. But we'll find out just how good Baid is. Do you think he's good enough to beat Snow Lantern, G-Rod?
I do think that he is very, very good. And yeah, he could be exceptional, couldn't he, in the way that he's been winning. He's been doing it very, very well. And racing post rating of last time out, 124 for a Group 3 win, is absolutely astronomical for that grade. It's the same rating that Starman got for winning the July Cup so impressively. So our handicappers were evidently hugely impressed by Ede. But of course, this is a massive step up in grade. As we say, that was only a Group 3, Freshdale Drama. These are proper Group 1 horses. Snow Lantern being obviously the pick of the rest, but I quite like Lope Fernandez as well. I think that he's quite a good horse, might be able to steal a Group One somewhere along the line. It's that sort of race, isn't it? You're just going to tune in on Sunday afternoon. You just finish your Sunday roast. You're going to sit down and you'll be really excited to see a real potential superstar lineup, because that's what he is. He's that sort of horse. He gets you excited. So I hope he wins, and I hope he doesn't disappoint us by Eid.
But you're not going to be having a bet, no?
Not a very short price. No, I think it actually, if you want to play in it, you have to lay him, don't you?
Well, we'll see. You're the expert. It's slightly disappointing that Jim Bolger's pulled out Poetic Flair, Justin. Is part of your job to ring Jim Bolger every so often and get a quote?
No.
Why?
Oh, gosh. When's the last time I rang Jim? I can't remember the last time I rang Jim.
Are you on good terms with him? Are you mates with him?
I wouldn't be on the worst terms of him now. The last time I actually saw him, he was... I made a comment in analysis about a horse of his that ran at the Cork Cup. And he came to me the next day.
You've got to do it in a Jim Bolger voice, okay? Go on. Well, what did he say to you?
He didn't really say very much, but he came to me with two printed handouts and said, "You might want to have a look at those." And it was the analysis that I wrote about the horse. I said... I more or less said in very kind words that Manning had gone too soon, and he'd faded away to finish sixth of seven. And he handed me also the comments in running, which I hadn't done. I think Brian Fleming had done those, and they both more or less read the same. So he obviously thought I wrote both of them, and he said to me, "Take a look at those and come back to me later on." So needless to say, it didn't bother me. I was going back to him later on. I don't think I've spoken to him since.
Okay, who wins the Moulin, Justin?
Train of thought totally gone. Yeah, I'd be with Giro on this one. I think Baid could well be a very, very good horse indeed. And although it is a massive step up to Group One, it looks to me to be a pretty winnable Group One. Snow Lantern is obviously a huge danger, but... Art of Australia is not going to get the ground that he wants. I think it's probably going to be a race that's going to be set up for Baye to kill them with speed at the end of it, and I reckon he's the one to take the beating.
Lovely stuff, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Justin. Lovely to have you back on the show. Do not leave it 3 years until we speak to you again. G-Rod, thank you very much indeed, my friend. Great case for Nando Prado. I'm going to have to back that. By the way, G-Rod, I've just looked. There's some bookmakers roughing four places on that. So that's good, isn't it?
I did see that. Yeah, that's very tempting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much indeed for listening. Maddie's back on Monday, looking back on all the action and looking ahead to what we've got next weekend, which we will cover in greater depth next Friday because it's Irish Champions weekend and the St. Ledger. So do join us for that. Do bet safely. Good luck. Hope you have a great weekend.